people to look at Hawaii think it's paradise, but like for the people that I grew up there, it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Meth was in the house. Since mm-hmm. I was like 5 years old, I saw people smoking meth right in front of my eyes. My mother passed away when I was 13, and my dad left me when I was about 7 years old. I pretty much raised myself. Yo, and then when I met Oosgang, I'm a barber, and then I cut his hair, and we became brothers, and then the rest is history. I literally had 4,000 followers in January, and I blew up to 13K since then. But the one that I did was Hawaiian meets an Indian, and that one went viral for the wrong reason.
Curry Indian or fucking feather Indian? I'm India Indian. I told you.
But like, it's entertainment, bro. Like, we're entertaining you.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, why you gotta leave negative comments? Just keep scrolling.
Out of your boys, so Ooze, Terrell, Ed, Tex, all the rest of them, who's the funniest? Alvin, brother, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me, bro.
Welcome back to the Wolf of Queen Street podcast. Today on the show, Alvin H., comedian, actor, and a content creator from Hawaii in New Zealand, sort of the last 5 or 7 years, and part of that whole content scene that is fucking blowing up and just making people laugh. And I was talking to Alvin off here and going, you guys are doing some funny shit that I wish that I had, like when God created us all and went, okay, you can have a voice, you can talk for hours and you can be funny. Maybe he should have given me a little bit more funny and less I can talk for hours. But Alvin, brother, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me, bro.
Awesome, man. So the first thing is to anyone, I mean, a lot of people in the content scene in New Zealand, in the funny scene will be aware of you or know about you, but some of the audience might not. So, you know, who are you and where are you from, bro?
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Alvin. They call me H Poppy online. I'm originally from Hawaii. I've been here about 7 to 5 years. I've been
sounds
doing
like
content for about
bro,
a year.
Sounds like a prison sentence.
Shout out to my boy Ed. Me and him swam here. I'm originally from the States. I'm American. But yeah, I've been in New Zealand. I love New Zealand. And I started content about a year ago. And I'm blessed to know good people. And my content just boom.
Yeah. So was that something that you always grew up as a kid, like you were funny or did?
Yeah.
Was your youth a little bit, you know, different like all of us was?
Yeah, to be honest, I grew up in kind of a rough neighborhood in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Sure.
I grew up in Nanakuli. This is where I'm from right here. But I grew up in a rough town, but I always was the class clown, like making people laugh. But I actually started, I was an MMA fighter. I was a professional MMA fighter, kickboxer. And then I was tired of getting punched in the face. So I wanted to make people laugh.
So get paid to laugh and not get punched in the face, right?
Yeah, and then I went back to my roots and started making people laugh again.
Yeah.
And lucky I came across my boy Oosgang, and the rest is history.
Right, that's awesome, man. I also want to go back to the upbringing. I'm myself coming up through South Africa and seeing a lot of that, a culturally pushed to what I am today and what I understand and stuff like that. You know, when we spoke off air, you know, you said you're Hawaii, Puerto Rican, there's a whole lot of different mixes, and you're saying you're in a rough neighborhood. Couldn't it have been pretty or fun? I mean, there must be some stories and some craziness through your youth, brother.
Yeah, man, it was pretty rough growing up. I grew up like my dad, like, you know, my mom and dad used to fight. Meth was in the house. Since I was like 5 years old, I saw people smoking meth right in front of my eyes. People that look at Hawaii think it's paradise, but like for the people that I grew up there, it's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in poverty, probably worse than here. Seeing my dad beat my mom up, bunch of people robbing us and drugs and everything. So, I grew up pretty rough and I had to grow up, like when I was 5 years old, I think I was an adult already. Like I was doing adult things when I was young, like cooking for my family. And it's just like crazy. So, growing up in like a diverse neighborhood, it's even more crazy because you don't know who you are because like I'm Filipino, Hawaiian, Puerto Rican, but like there's like a bunch of Samoans or something. What am I? And then I ended up hanging out with Samoans. I grew up with pretty much mostly Polynesians.
Yep.
So
you still got a relationship with your parents or how's that gone
actually
along?
My mother passed away when I was 13.
Yeah.
And my dad left me when I was about 7 years old. I still keep in touch with him, but he lives in Texas in the States. And, if you're watching this, Dad, still love you, though. Don't worry. But, he left me when I was young and built a whole new family and stuff like that. But, I pretty much raised myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the hardest questions, we're getting a bit serious at the moment because I appreciate person's upbringing to, like I said before, where we get to and how it drives us and how it molds us. And at some places it molds and some places it breaks.
Yeah.
Now, with yourself challenging youth, bringing up all those situations, looking back to where you are now and everything else, would you have had the fluffy, cool stuff, or would you have had the upbringing you had to bring to make you the man you are today?
No, I reckon everything happens for a reason, and the upbringing is what made me who I am today. Like, yo, I came here with a previous, my kid's mother, you know, and then we ended up breaking up. Yeah, so I think if I haven't been raised up that way, I wouldn't have kept my composure and stayed in New Zealand and and still be who I am today. But yo, that rough background is what made me who I am today. Yeah,
it is always an interesting one when I speak to people, because, you know, some people might be listening to this and going, hey, dude, you know, you can't ask the dude if, you know, all that shit at home, you know, was worth it and stuff like that. But it's each one of us in our own circles, right? And it's each one, and like I said, there's this generational movement of oppression and violence and all that other stuff. Yeah, and as culturally we're trying to, and societal-wise, we're trying to move away from it. But it's within ourselves of what we are and what we've experienced, right? Yeah. And that's always the interesting one I see from, like I said, being raised in South Africa, seeing violence and all the rest of it. And then we all come, you know, we're an immigrant country in New Zealand. We come here and we're like, fuck, bro.
Yeah.
This is real life, right? This is how you fucking.
Yeah.
And one of the funniest things I always remember when I came over here originally my first time, so it was at 2004. So I was about 19, 20 years old, you know, so I was here on sports. I was still playing professional rugby and stuff. And late teens, you know, I thought I was a thug and, you know, growing up. So, and I remember sitting down one night and it was in the news, and I'd always find this quite funny. And they'd interviewed a couple of girls from South Auckland, and it was like these 16 or 17 girls that had gotten themselves into shit. And they were interviewing on the news, and then the girls like, no, we fucking relate to the gangs in America, and, you know, we hard and all this shit. And I was sitting there in the lounge, and I said to my mate that was actually a South African, I was like, they don't know what the fuck that is. They don't know what fucking hard is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they say that shit and they go over to somewhere where there is a third world, you'll fucking know real quickly what the hard life is and you know, and what it, like, you don't run your mouth like that, you get fucking put on your spot, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I was growing up in Hawaii, like, and then when I came here, like, to be honest, I have nothing against, like, everybody from New Zealand, but when I came here, it's like a relief, because it's so, like, everybody's loving over here. Like, where I'm from is, like, pretty hectic.
Yeah.
If you look at somebody the wrong way, they're going to,
because people don't realize in Hawaii, you've got the tourist side of Hawaii, right?
Yes.
You've got the depends which island you're on as well. Yep. If you're on the main island, Oahu,
yep,
and you're doing the whole touristy thing like I've done, and Waikiki Beach and all that shit, right? All of that's made to keep those people happy. But as soon as you come out of that and go, I'm going inverted commas into the wild, shit just goes fucking like third world crazy, and it's uncontrollable. And as a society, we're not shown that side. It's like my dad saw it when he traveled to Cuba. Everyone's like, don't go to fuck. He's like, don't go to Cuba. Cuba's crazy. And then they went over to Cuba, and he always speaks about one of the best holidays. And he goes, yeah, in the main cities in Cuba, he says, it's amazing. It's all kept because everyone wants the tourists for money.
Yeah.
The police are there to protect the tourists. But they're like, as soon as you leave the city, dude, you're gone, bro. Like, as soon as you leave, because he said to me, he came back, and he's like, as we're walking, like, every side of the street, there's two cops up and down armed. And he was like, he went over to the guys, and he's like, dude, what's up? He goes, no, we're keeping, like, these eight blocks. No one's allowed to come in and out looking for shit, because that's the money, that's the tourists, because that's how the money's made, right? And he goes, but if you leave that, we can't protect you, bro.
Can't control it, bro, yeah. Just like in Hawaii, like, the place where I'm from is Nanakuli. It's like the west side of the island. But yo, it's like, even there's like tour guide books.
Yeah.
It specifically says, do not go to Nanakuli and Wainai, bro. Because when you go there, it's like, you better keep your doors locked, because it's like a third world country over there, bro.
It's not the same place where Tongi is from?
Yeah. Nah. So Iam Tongi is from the east side.
Yeah.
We're from the west side, the wild, wild west. Yeah. It's Max.
Is there like a east coast, west coast fucking thing going on?
It's always the east versus west, yo.
So you're going to have to tell Iam Tongi, fuck you, no?
Yeah, Iam Tongi. I got you. No, no.
No, next time,
met him. I actually met him at Eden Festival. He's the man.
Yeah? You fucking respect, yo, he's, bro. He's the his man. Story's amazing, man. He's
But from my hood is Max Holloway. I don't know if you guys know who Max Holloway is.
Oh, yeah, bro.
He's from my hood. He's he's from
that explains a lot, bro.
Yeah,
that explains
a lot. Yeah, you can see the haircut as well.
Yeah.
Max Holloway.
Yeah, he's fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah. He's the man. So we all grew up in the same area, and that's the rough hood, bro. Like, his story is similar to mine's.
Yeah.
Like, his dad left him. His
so why aren't you, like, fucking famous then?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to be like Max Holloway.
You did say you're an MMA fighter, bro.
Yeah. I used to fight MMA, yeah. I have about 6 MMA fights.
Yeah?
Yeah, 6 MMA fights. Bro. Yeah. Ah, I'm not that good, but I fought it.
So. You still do it, dude.
Anybody want to catch his hand? Nah.
You're ready to roll, bro. Yeah. No, man, that's awesome. Yeah, and then, so obviously, like we said, comedy was part of your tone and underneath of it. Did you think of getting into the stand-up comedy when you came across here? Was it just we stumbled in and when you met the boys?
To be honest, I wanted to be there, but I always was shy to... Because, like I said, the hood that I'm from is if you show, like, you're funny or something, they're going to think you're weak, and they're going to be like, you're a bitch, bro. Like, what the fuck you laughing for?
Yeah.
Like, that's the way I heard. Like, my hood is, like, you have to, like, make people, like, proud of you. Or, like, laughing is not, like, it's frowned upon, bro. Like, you got to be stern.
Yeah.
The fuck you looking
caveman,
at?
Caveman, bro.
Yeah, you got to be caveman. You got to be gangster, bro. But, and then when I met Ooskang, I met him through haircutting because I'm a barber. That's my actual trade. I'm a barber. Hit me up for a haircut. Nah. I'm a barber, and then I cut his hair, and we became brothers. And then I was his cameraman for about a year.
Yep.
Yeah, but and then I just started doing my own content because he saw how funny it was, and he's like, bro, why don't you do your own shit? Yeah. And then I was like, what? And then I did my first skit with my boy Regan, Robin Hood Reek. Shout out to him. He put me on when I had 100 followers.
Yeah.
I had 100 followers. This guy had 60,000 followers and put me in my skit, and then the rest is history, bro. Yo.
So having a guy in your chair, because you cut out of Papakura?
You cut out
of Papakura, right? Having a dude in the chair, it must be quite a fun blast with you fucking rambling on there and dropping some jokes, bro. Like,
almost all my customers, by the time they leave my chair, we're brothers already.
That's the same, dude. I get my cut at the same place with the same dude for the last couple of years, and we just talk shit. And he knows a couple of the, because I've also been chasing, again, shout out Izzy, Shane, the UFC boys are huge. I've been chasing them for the last couple of years. So he also knows a couple of boys from that circle, and he keeps DMing them going, oh, I know Lawrence wants you on the show. But it's a great sit in the chair and that respect and having a good laugh and everything else, right? So
shout out to Shane Young. He follows me.
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on the show, Shane.
Dude, I've called him out so many times. One day. We're going to get to like when he's 50, bro, and then we're going to like, Shane Young, former UFC fighter, right?
At least he got his clothing company going on. So that's
He just launched that recently, right?
Over the weekend, there was all over the
Yeah, because there was the an TV event show. And it was the
Hex.
The Hex event, right? And was unofficial.
Yeah, I think it's sponsored by his clothing brand. So
is that his brand, the unofficial jacket? Because it's funny, we're standing in front of these boards, and a bit of a shout out to Shane Young, and I'll cut this up for you, bro. But he was standing board, and it was like unofficial merch.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at it going, are they selling merch and saying it's not the real brand, or is the brand unofficial? So that's why I had to look for it for a bit of a while, right?
Going, yeah, that's a mean name.
Yeah, so it's a like, double check it, man.
Yo, I have to shout out to him and Janae Harding, bro. Two of them City Kickboxing. They like my skits and they follow me back. I was like, oh.
Dude, I used to play rugby with Huge back in the day at Massey. Oh,
damn.
Yeah, so I played with him for a couple of years over before, just as the early days of City Kickboxing. And I still remember him invited me, coming over and said, hey, come train at the gym because, I've always wanted to get into fighting. Oh, geez, you're talking about 14 years ago.
Yeah.
But I was working downtown and City Kickboxing top of the town.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like too fucking far. And I was like, nah. And that was before there was any of the big boys. No,
It
was early days. But what was always funny with Huge is a lot of guys didn't realize that he's a legit fighter, right?
Yeah, he's a pro fighter as well.
Yeah, he just snapped his leg in his last fight.
Yeah.
So he used to play flank. And I played for Massey, and Massey's a West Auckland team, so it's a very a brothers team. I was one of the few light skinned brothers in the team, and then we'll play the North Shore teams, which is infamously more white.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so there's a lot more brawls going on. And what the funniest would always be is, and Yuji's a quiet dude, right? He's never, he's always a quiet, respectful guy. But we all knew he would fucking destroy like 10 guys before you even knew it. And so what would happen is we would have a match going on and some guy would grab Yuji because he just got annoyed by him. And we wouldn't grab Yuji back. We would grab the other dude and go, bro, you don't want to? you don't want to start this? You were like, you don't know what's going on because you get fucking killed in a second.
You're choked out, bro.
Yeah, Yuji would just take you out. So, yeah, no, it was funny watching that and then seeing him, you know, blow up with the coaching and all the rest of it.
Yeah, and then he got coach of the year in like 2019 or something. Crazy, yeah, man.
No, because I spoke to Coach Suns. That was sports and conditioning for Izzy just before he signed with UFC.
Yeah,
so it was Yuji, Suns, and then Izzy, and then Izzy got the UFC original contract, and then they shifted it to different coaches and stuff like that. But it was real crazy to see, you know, the world of how they moved on and stuff.
Exactly. Now they're global superstars, man. Yeah.
Fucking hustling.
Yo, actually, Israel Adesanya is my cousin from my Nigerian side.
You're going to prove it, bro. Yeah, broken native, dude. You got a next tag.
Oh, yo, I got the Africa on my chest, man.
Yeah. Bring it. We can go to Ed. Ed can sort us out for
bro. Yo, with broken native on my chest.
So I was talking to Tyler from Follow Dojo on the weekend because I went to an event talking about how Ed does tattoos. So Ed Ribeiro does tattoos. It's been on the show previously. Yeah. And Tyler said, the worst of all is going to Ed to having tattoos is Ed's still rambling, right? He's still dropping shit. And the boys are laughing.
And they have to keep still.
And they have to keep still. And Tyler was like, Ed kept on saying, dude, stop. Like, stop shaking. And they're like, how am I supposed to stop shaking if you keep dropping the comedy?
Yo, he actually gave me this tattoo right here.
Yeah, that's me.
The Puerto Rican flag. So, yeah, Ed, he's pretty good. Shout him out.
Yeah. So, before we go down on, you know, the... a question I ask all comedians or guys that's coming into the comedy game and everything else, I want to ask is, who is your greatest? Who is your Mount Rushmore from a comedy point of view, bro? Your four greatest.
Ooh, four greatest. Okay. My four greatest in comedy would have to be Jim Carrey.
Yeah, bro.
Jim Carrey would be my number one. We're talking about all comedians,
that can be some dude that just, you know, can be all comedians, anyone, but who's your Mount Rushmore, the four guys that
paved the way
for you?
Yeah, so it would have to be Jim Carrey, my number one, and Joe Coy, because he's the same ethnicity as me, he's Filipino. So if you're hearing this, Joe Coy, I'll open up for you one day. You heard me? And Joe Coy, I might be biased, but the two rest would have to be my boy Oosh Gang.
Yeah.
And probably all my boys at the end. The last person would be Terrell, Ed, Regan, Busky, all my boys that put me on. Yeah. They're on that Rushmore, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because they're pretty much what you call that? Like people who started it off. Trendsetters. Yeah, they're the trendsetters. Yeah. Because everybody want to be like them. Uncle Tix, all of them, they're all... Yeah, in my eyes, that's who I wanted to be like. Like, you know, when I got into this game, I'm like, bro, I'm going to get on their level.
Yeah.
So like, yo. No disrespect to everybody else in the world, but my boys are the best and we're coming.
So put you on the spot. Out of those boys, out of your boys, so Uz, Terrell, Ed, Tix, all the rest of them, who's the funniest? Dude, you walked right into that and you got to answer it now. You got to answer it. And I'm going to cut this up. Yeah, out of the local content scene of the boys you're hustling, who is legit the funniest?
Hey, I love all you guys equally, but I got to say, my boy Oosh Gang is fucking funny, bro. Oosh Gang is naturally funny. If you guys meet him in person, hey, he's a bit of a humble, quiet fellow, but once you get on his good side, he's fucking funny, bro. Can you bleep that out? No. Shout out to my boy Uz Gang. But everybody's just like funny in their own way.
Yeah.
But like being around him for, we traveled three countries together.
Mm-hmm.
We literally slept on the same bed together because we had to. And yo, he's my brother, and bro. He's funny, bro.
Nah, that's awesome, bro. I'll cut up the video and go, Terrell's not funny. It's not funny. Because H said so.
Rigging up that.
Yeah. Who's boys on finance? How that goes, bro.
Oh, I forgot to mention Jimmy. Jimmy.
Ciao, new Jimmy. He just did his. He did his. Dude, this is where. I'm so excited for anyone, again, to anyone that's listening or watching, that's not aware of the New Zealand content scene, the funny scene is, these guys are going back to, and especially like Jimmy, to the 90s old school unfiltered shit, bro. Jimmy did a video last week, who was on the couch when he talked about the Maori in the wild? He did the Steve Irwin.
Oh, It's JP, John Perry.
Yeah.
And my boy John Perry.
Yeah. So he did a video of acting like he was... Steve Irwin finding Maori in the wild.
Yeah, that was right? That was when it was on set for TV and the web series.
Yeah. And for bro, it was hilarious. But we can only do it in New Zealand because if he did that shit, imagine he did that shit in America right now. Imagine
bro, he'd be on the news, bro.
Imagine a white boy did a comedian that a comedy skit acting like he found a native in the wild.
Bro.
Imagine what would happen.
It would go viral for the wrong reasons.
100%. But in New Zealand, we're lying at and we're having that sense of humor and all the rest of it. And it's great to see that. And
I think that's what makes making people like drawing people to us because we're doing stuff out of the box. Some stuff that I do as well, people in the States would be like, my video had 1 million views and that one is like pretty, people said
you did racist. You did the Samoan verse.
Filipino.
Yes. And that blew up.
That one, like 4 million. Shout out to my boy Muffy. It was his video, like both of our ideas, but it was his video. But the one that I did was Hawaiian meets an Indian.
Yeah.
And that one went viral for the wrong reasons. It's like 1.2 million on my Instagram.
People hate it?
You can read the comments but I'm not racist, bro. I'm not racist. They just thought I was, but it's literally my mate Grizz.
Yeah.
Yo, we just like did an interaction with his Indian accent and my Hawaiian accent.
Oh yes, he's the big boy. He's the big dude, right?
No. So it was the one that I'm not gonna play the audio because it's pretty hectic, but
we might get canceled.
Yeah, I don't want Lawrence to get canceled. You can cancel me, but don't cancel him, guys. Cancel me though. What? No. So is that one there?
Cool, bro.
Yo, so that one like.
Don't worry, anyone. I'll show the little video when I do the editing. Yeah.
So that one was a 1.2 million, but yo, bro, all the comments is like some of them is death threats, and I'm like, they don't know that's a comedy skit. Like, bro, look at my other skits. I'm a comedian, but
yeah,
yo, some people take it too far. But
there's a comedian. There's a guy. I'm gonna butcher it now. Is British, and he does a filter. He does an old man filter.
Yeah.
So. 40, same age as me, 40-year-old middle-aged dude, funny as fuck.
Yeah.
And then he films with a 60-year-old man filter.
Yeah.
And all his videos is just the 60-year-old man. And he changes his voice to sound like a grandpa. And then he does food challenges and he talks shit. But he is funny as fuck.
Yeah.
And everyone loves it. And he's lately been doing videos of like people hate it. And they're like, dude, you fake. It's a filter.
Yeah.
And he's like, dude. It's a skit.
Yo, like what the fuck?
It's a story, entertainment. Bro.
Yeah. That's what I tell people. Like it's entertainment, bro. Like we're entertaining you.
Yeah.
Like what the fuck? Like why you gotta leave negative comments? Just keep scrolling. Like, you know what I mean?
So when on the comedy side of it and all the rest of it, like talk me through like because we spoke about off air, like I want to get into the comedy the content game, a bit of the humor side. I don't have that genetic thing in me to go, oh, dude, this is funny. I've spent days.
Yeah.
Like, what's the process with yourself or with the rest of the boys? You've seen that of like, because I can imagine there's people watching this going, fuck, I'd love to get it. You know, how does it work? How do we put it together to make funny content? Like, what's the process you guys normally work through?
Like, I think everybody's different, but like, from my personal opinion and like in my experience, sometimes you can write skits down. Like for instance, like, driving here, I thought of a skit.
Yeah.
And then I just quickly write it down on my phone when I stop.
Yep.
And like sometimes you like, you think of the skit, you have mean production, you invite the boys over, the cameras is mean ass and everything, and then that doesn't even go viral.
Yeah.
But sometimes I like, I think of the skit like, once we link up with the boys, shake their hand, we feel the energy, oh, I got a skit, bro. And then I think of it and it was 1 million views.
Yep.
Like all my skits that hit 1 million is something that I thought of on the spot.
Do you think it's because, so this is like sort of the interesting one over in the New Zealand team, right? So that whole circle of you guys, right? That whole yourself, Oos, Terrell, all of them, right? Jimmy, Tix. Is it because No, this is going to come across the wrong way, but and I'm not meaning it. Is it because anyone that jumps in with one of them automatically it's going to work because they've already got the foundation, right? Because what I'm seeing at the moment is I'm seeing all the guys have to get into that circle in New Zealand. I don't see anyone on the outside of that.
Nah.
That's making the scene. There's a few,
but I reckon being with the boys is a bit help because they are the most viral people. And like, even bro Jackie the Asian.
Yeah, bro. It's like, he's fucking
all
funny.
Of
us.
Like, yeah, I want to mention all the boys because all of them deserve the credit. Like,
yeah.
Busky and Grizz and all of these guys, Muffin and, but Usgang.
Started it pretty much. Jimmy's OG, bro.
Bro, Jimmy is Usgang's OG. Like, yeah, you know, that's the guy Usgang look up to. Like, Jimmy is a legend, bro. He's the Jim Carrey of New Zealand, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But like, everybody's unique in their own way. But when Usgang came together, like, he brought the boys together to do the music video, don't match. Mm-hmm. And that's how I became viral because I used to be the one, like, showing my fake teeth with foil on it. And then, I'm not going to lie, bro, I had a lot of.
Because wasn't it a Britney Spears or something?
Yeah, it was a Britney Spears. And then a lot of people were like, these guys are only getting known because of Usgang.
Yeah.
But like, it is true. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit at the camera and say it's fake because it's true. But like, to have a big following, you have to do your own work. Like, the work ethic speaks for itself. Like, you're not going to just be in somebody's video and then hit 10,000 followers.
100%.
Like, I'm humble as, and I always give credit to my boys who actually put me on.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tell them that, they're like, bro, you don't want to put in the work. So why are you thanking us? I'm like, bro, you.
Yeah, man.
Like, if it wasn't for them putting me on, I'll still be trying to get followers.
Yeah. So, you know, also one of the biggest things, is, you know, you can go take a cell phone, 15-second video, just record something, you're funny, and it works, right?
Yeah.
But most of the stuff that you guys are playing in and working on is story writing, or a skit idea, story writing, you know, actual producing it.
Yeah.
It's hours, right? So as much on I was reading one of the local boys saying how it took them 4 hours to make a 15-second video.
Yo.
And I think a lot of people forget that yes, you can do some viral stuff of a 10-second video clip that goes, that's really funny. But a lot of the other stuff takes a lot of planning, takes a lot of time and understanding, right? I know you would respect that guy behind the camera that's a film producer and an indie actor as well, has an understanding of like how long perfect 10 seconds, as much as it looks like it's just from a cell phone and it's supposed to be funny, can take to get the right thing and the right stuff, right?
Some of my skits take me ages to edit. Like, like this one skit that I just did, the one with Uncle Tix as well, like it's from the Eeps, and then.
Oh, I was talking about the girlfriend one.
Yeah, and then the skit is like 5, 10 seconds. Like, what, bro? We literally took like almost an hour to film that. Yeah. Yo.
It is because there's a couple of guys I've been just as some tips, like a couple of guys on TikTok that are editors, and they're like, cool, if you want to have this look or this tone, this is what you do. And he's what you don't realize is like he goes and shows you like here's the 20-second like change this setting, but you can check his Adobe Pro, and on his Adobe Pro he's got like 30 lines deep and he's got like 20 pieces across of like, and he's like, no, change this setting. I'm like, no, you fucking lying, bro. I can see your content at the bottom of your Adobe Pro, and there's like layers and layers and layers of just getting the right tone and the color. And you know, like we're filming in this studio and we've got the backlights and the top and the right mics and stuff, so it adds, it removes a lot of that stuff. But if we've just outside, you got to do this, a lot of this post-editing, right?
Exactly, yeah. This is a mean studio.
You guys can come do a skit in here, man.
Oh, bro, I'm about to do a skit after this filming.
Yeah, on the table, bro.
We're going to do a skit after this, bro.
Sounds good, bro. You know, so any shows planned? So talking about that, you got any shows coming up?
It was buzzy because I think what drew the people to me is my American accent as well. And then, I fast-tracked a lot of things. I only been in the film industry for like over a year, and I already acted in 2 movies, 3 TV shows.
Pornhub doesn't count, bro.
Two OnlyFans videos. Oh, I don't want to be Vines anyways. It'll be only 5 seconds now.
Hold on. Talking about that. Okay. Here's a question to you. And I'll do a question to guy at the back and a shout out. I spoke to someone on the weekend that's thinking the new ways. I'm thinking, yes, the content we're producing is old school Vines or it's a longer form of Vines. But I'm thinking that the 7 seconds or less is what's going to be the next sort of 12, 18 months. I think there's going to be a trend towards that shorter, funny shit.
Yeah, I reckon the short and sweet videos is the way to go.
Yeah.
Because people's attention span nowadays are like, even for me.
Yeah.
Like if I see something that's boring in 2 seconds, I'll just swipe.
Yeah.
So, yo, to be honest, you're going to steal my secrets. I try to make my videos shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like the pop, because in my opinion, once it pops, like if in 7 seconds, it'll make people keep wanting to watch it. Like, one more. And then, as soon as you know it, it's 1 million views.
Sounds good, man. But funny enough, it's one of those weird things that, when COVID hit, 1 million views are like, shit, I'm going viral, I'm going famous.
Yeah.
It's almost like the baseline now. Like, I mean, I'm a content creator. I'm slowly getting my way up there.
Yeah.
And, on IG, I've got a couple that's done 1 million stuff. But it doesn't change your life, bro.
Yeah.
2 years ago, shit, I'm saying 2 years because I'm thinking it's 2020. 4 years ago, you got 1 million views through COVID. All of a sudden, shit was happening.
Yo, right? You're the man.
You're the man. Yo. Now it's sort of almost like the base in New Zealand. Yeah. Like, you've got to steadily get a million, 300K, 400K, 1 million, 50K, just for people to go, okay, he's a little bit legit.
Yeah. Well, took me a while for people to take me seriously, but I literally had 4,000 followers in January and I blew up to 13K since then. But I reckon it's because of the consistency that I do. I was dropping a video every day for like the past months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually dabbled into my old accent, like my Hawaiian accent. Yeah. And then that's what made me go viral. So like these big superstars in the States follow me. I'm like starstruck and stuff like that. But
that's awesome, bro.
Yeah, I reckon consistency and consistency is the one, bro.
No, awesome. So we were talking about earlier, you're talking about you've gone into acting, doing a few pieces now in the last year and the rest of it.
Yeah.
So let's go back to it. You got any shows coming up for stand up or anything like that?
Yeah. So I got a stand up show next month. I just actually got the text today from my boy Ed Rivero. I got a stand up show coming up. We're currently in the process of filming a TVNZ web series.
Yeah.
Starring Jimmy Jackson, Terrell, Oost Gang, Uncle Tix, your boy. And then
is that off the back of the Samoan Zombie?
Same producers, but it's a different show.
Yep.
But same producers,
But was it off the back of the success of that?
Yes. Yep. So I was in a Samoan Zombies as well. But so we got that one. And I got a possible stand up show in Hawaii coming up this year.
Oh, nice, bro.
Yo, shout out to my sponsor, Strong Arm. Hawaiians gets yourself a shirt. And they're going to fly me out to Hawaii to do my own stand-up show.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you bring the whole crew, bro?
I'm bringing the whole crew, bro.
Because when guys travel with the crew, right? Like the main G has to fucking pay for the rest of the boys. Dude, that's going to be expensive.
That's what I was just going to say.
It's going to be very expensive.
Hey, shout out to my boys. Make sure you guys save any money.
Because that's like when the guy's like Izzy and those guys, right? People don't realize when the guy rocks up and he's 10 or 20 deep.
Yo,
right?
He paid for everything, bro.
That's when they used to, that's when that was, that was when back in the day when it was Connor and Diaz, right?
They rocked
up and they were rocking 20 deep.
Exactly.
Guys don't realize that the front man, the main G, has to pay for his boys.
Yo, exactly.
Yeah, so.
So I'm in the process of talking to my sponsor. I told him I have to have Terrell and Usheng at least.
Yeah.
At least with me because they're the two guys, all my boys, I love them, but there's the two guys that I respect because they put me on Oost Gang and Terrell.
Dude, you just cutting your mates down in this episode. You're just fucking cutting people, dude. You're like, no, fuck you. I'm not taking you. I'm leaving you behind. I'm taking you behind.
No, but yo, they're not like, bro, me and Terrell Oost Gang was like, last year, bro, we went everywhere together.
Yeah.
Went to Samoa, went to Hawaii together, bro. Yeah. Took them to my hood. Yeah. It's pretty buzzy, though.
Yeah, they don't want to go back?
No. They're like, that shit is crazy, man.
Like I say, once other people see the other side of the world from like what we have in New Zealand, right, and that sort of stuff, they're just like, no. They're like, no, we'll just stay here.
Exactly.
We'll just stay hood in New Zealand, right?
They thought I was exaggerating when I said over there it's crazy, bro. Yeah. Like literally, one of my mates got shot and killed, bro.
It's crazy, bro.
A few weeks before we even went there. And that's when Oost Gang, like, when we went and land on my island, they didn't even want to come to the west side because obvious reasons. Like, people get killed every day, bro. Like, if you Google my non-included right here, if you Google that on YouTube, the first thing will pop up is a murder, bro. Like, in the past 2 years, so many murders, bro. It's, like, crazy, bro. And I wish we could go back to the old Hawaii, you know, like, back in my hood. Yo, that's why I stayed in New Zealand, because I got three kids as well. And I forgot to mention I got three kids, but yeah. Shout out to my kids. If you guys are watching this, I must miss you because I can't even see you guys, but yo, love you guys.
Last thing I want to ask about, you were at the premiere for Next Goal Wins, First Goal Wins?
Yeah, yeah. I was. We got invited. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of the movie, bro?
Oh, it's a mean movie.
Yeah.
Bro, it was funny because it was actually filmed in my hometown.
Yeah.
That's not Samoa. That's Hawaii. That's Hawaii. Sorry to say, but that's not Samoa, bro. That's Hawaii, bro. Yo, the whole thing was filmed in my backyard, pretty much.
But it has, to any New Zealander, it has a whole, I don't know, have you ever watched Sione's Wedding?
Yeah, bro. It has that vibe.
Because I've watched it a few times over the last month, and then I'm a big sort of like that Disney vibe, like true story, funny shit. Yeah. I was also watching the Cheetos one, the hot Flaming Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the dude that made the hot Cheetos. Yeah, that story's good. So I told my wife, watch the football one, and she was like, oh, it's totally like Sione Wedding vibe and everything else. But you've got to be New Zealand Pacific
to understand it.
To understand the joke around the Fafafini and the coach being totally confused by it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yo, I reckon, yeah, it's a mean movie, bro.
Yeah.
And like, it's fun, it's mean to see like people that I grew up around in the movie as well. I have a few people that I didn't even know as actors. And I said, what? He's in the movie. Like, yo, it's crazy. It's that one big guy with the blonde hair.
Yeah.
Bro, I knew him since I was baby, bro. And he's actually in the movie. I'm like, fuck, he's one of the main backgrounders.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, like, fuck, that's crazy, bro.
No, that's awesome, man. No, I thought it was because I remember seeing you in that, and I thought it was cool.
Cool. I'm actually like, when we was there, Universal Pictures interviewed me. I was like, thought I was an actor.
Yeah, because I saw you got on the Universal official release.
On Instagram. I'm like, what the?
The official Universal trailer for the
movie. Yeah.
Yeah, for the movie.
I think because I said I was from Hawaii, so they're like, oh, put that in.
Now, all good, bro. Look, as we get up to the end of today's show, anything you want to drop our audience with, and you know, anything you want to leave them with?
Oh, yeah, I want to leave you guys with is no matter your circumstances in life, pick yourself up and keep going. And it's never too late to be anybody.
Yeah.
I'm 34 years old and I'm going to be on a big screen with my cousin Jason Momoa. If you guys don't know, hey, I'm about to show you guys some knowledge real quick. Hold on.
Big screen, bro. It's all right. Let's get you on a billboard or something.
Yeah.
As H is looking up for something, you're looking for a shout out for Jason?
I have to show you guys this because the podcast wouldn't be fulfilled without me showing you guys these photos.
Please make sure Jason's dressed.
Hey, here you guys go. This is me, my cousin Jason right there. Me, Jason Momoa. We're related by we're family. And this is me and him at his dad's house.
Oh, nice, bro.
So, yo, Jason, when you're watching this, I will be in one of your movies, bro. Hit me up, cuz I'm in New Zealand.
That's awesome, bro. No, thanks so much. And as always, like with the stuff with your shows and that, I'll add all those details into the end of the show to see you stand up, bro. Excited to come watch yourself and Ed. Yep. I'm a massive.
Is the camera still rolling?
Huh? Camera's always rolling, bro. I haven't finished off, so.
One more time. Shout out to all my boys that put me on. Shout out to Ed, Oost, Terrell, Regan, Busky. Shout out to the bro Lawrence.
Here we go, bro.
Hey, thank you for having me, bro, and I'll see the next JFC Momoa.
Damn, well, thanks so much, H, and to everyone else, thanks for coming over to the Wolf of Queenship podcast, as always. As I say, don't say to share, subscribe, all that stuff. That's not what's important to me. What's important about you enjoyed the show, having a laugh today's episode, seeing what H is up to. Go over to his content, go and support him.
Thank you.
Change his life. I don't need that, so in a weird way. But yeah, thanks for coming over to the show. And as always, make sure you respect and show love to everyone around you. Show a bit of humor through the content that these guys are doing. Let's live our lives with, you know, that sort of sense of humor and enjoying the shit that's around us and the small things and laughing. And always, thanks for coming over to the show. And hope to see you again.
Let's go.